and Tua.
Yeah,
that's another one. You know, speaking of those
Medina
struggling restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah, Medina. Speaking of those little struggling restaurants down right here in the village, you know, it's a old village, you know, New England style storefronts right and everything like that, and they jammed restaurants into these tiny little storefronts.
Oh.
And while the clientele is still here, there's lots of people that want to go sit and have a drink or get a real nice meal, but the kitchen spaces are so small that they cannot socially distance their cook staff.
Oh, geez.
So these restaurants, it's physically impossible for the restaurants to reopen.
Oh.
Because they can't put a staff of four cooks in the kitchen.
Hmm.
Because the space is just too small.
Wow, never thought of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sad.
Well, I mean, it's
just, you know.
Yeah, but you know, there's plenty of people out and about. And
good.
The popcorn shop is doing quite a bit of business.
Is it?
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
They just file in one door and file out the other door. It's kind of like a galley.
Oh.
That's always the way it's been. They didn't have to change anything.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
When you get older, it's hard to eat popcorn.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
You get it stuck in your teeth.
Yeah. It's
all I do all day is floss.
Yeah.
I can't remember when I was younger flossing, you know.
I never did. Although
I
don't floss, but the dentist told me about these little sticks that have little brushes on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they make them in like three sizes. And I use that always at night, you know, to make sure.
Yeah. They even have those little floss sticks.
Yeah, those floss.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah. I've always had a hard time with flossing.
You know,
my gums would always bleed, and that would make it worse. So this is a lot better. You know, I don't have as many to worry about as I used to either. But
well, I still have all of mine. They're not the prettiest teeth in the world.
That's lucky.
Well, no, I do have one or two caps, I think. But I got all the bases still.
Yeah, I don't.
Which is amazing.
I got
Right.
So what's with the schooling?
Oh.
Nightmare?
It's we just got used to this online, because our school district, I teach out here on the east side at West Geauga High School, they opted for a all-in plan unless you're, you know, worried or you have specific health concerns, and then you could choose to do remote learning for the first semester.
Okay.
So out of the 800 kids we have at the school, there's probably 500 kids that are going to come in face to face.
Is it started yet?
The face to face starts on Tuesday.
Ah, so you don't know what to expect.
So right, they did adapt a little bit, and they said, hey, for the first 3 weeks, until we really get a handle on what's going on, let's just keep everybody remote.
Oh.
So for the first 3 weeks, we've been teaching everybody online. And, you know, people have gotten good to this. There's a little bit of rhythm to the way you handle all the background stuff as a classroom teacher.
Yeah.
But then all of that is going to change, because now I'm only going to have maybe two kids who are online in third period chemistry. And then I'm going to have like 15 or 20 kids sitting live in my class.
Wow.
And so now I have to do these two different things with these 20 different people.
So you're going to be doing a lot more typing.
It'll be very different.
Wow. How the heck are you going to talk to the kids and then type to the kids at the same time?
Because right now I feel like a club disc jockey.
Yeah.
Like I have three different screens going.
Oh my.
And they all run off three different monitors. So I have three different keyboards, and my hands are going back and forth. And my head's on a swivel, and all that, like, that is for the most part, that's going to stay the same. But then I'm also going to have students live in front of me that I have to engage.
Oh, my.
So Well, it'll be a little different.
Yeah, you'll have to be talking and typing at the same time.
Well, the nice thing with the new technology with all the, like, the teleconferencing stuff, like Zoom. My district chooses to use Zoom, but whatever it is, you know, yeah. Google Meets or Teams or whatever, there's audio, so I don't have to type.
Oh, good. Okay.
To the students who aren't in the room.
Okay, good.
I just turn the video on.
Okay.
Turn the video off and then just leave the sound run.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's right. A little better.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. You mm-hmm. know, but thank goodness that the technology,
right,
you know, that
right.
allows that.
I mean, I don't,
what would happen if we didn't have that technology?
You'd well,
really
what about,
have
what
a
about
nightmare.
All these kids that don't have the computers and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these impoverished people, I right. know they're giving some out, but I think those kids are really getting the short end of the
Luckily,
stick.
Luckily, they become cheaper and less expensive,
right.
rather, is a better term.
And
right. More well, available, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the school districts, like, for example, Cleveland Metropolitan, I don't know that they can give every kid
right,
their
yeah,
own
Right, yeah. The so, Cleveland City Schools is a lot different than, you know, Chagrin.
Right.
What if you have three or four kids in the family, too, you know?
Exactly, right. Wow. That household might only get one device. And then how does each
oh my
kid
gosh.
Engage with their teacher?
And things are bad enough for them to have this where they're going to, they're not going right. to study.
It's
they're going
to, you know, they're,
wow.
I hate to say it, but one of their only resorts is school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Don't
right.
you think?
And it's not just for eating.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's for eating, right.
education,
socialization.
Too.
You know, but, there's so many things involved there.
Right.
And where are these kids going to get the direction? Where are they going to get the direction,
right.
Mike?
A lot of them don't have fathers, so it's going to be worse.
Right.
Right.
Like,
on another
topic, the policeman that was detected that was killed.
Oh,
two of them were juveniles.
Our condolences right. really go out to him and his
yeah.
family and to the Cleveland Police Department that does a
right.
really good job. And, you know, you don't
yep.
hear about that in the...
Nope.
In our media, you don't hear about all these officers that are shot down and knifed and everything
no,
else.
No, they complain about it.
All you hear about is these they're felons.
Yeah,
you know,
and they complain because
right.
the football player carried out a flag that had a blue line on it.
It's nuts too.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I know all of our listeners really are supportive of the police departments.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
I hope they are.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they got to be. But I know, honest to John, I know people who say, well, they did the wrong thing, you know.
Yeah.
How would you like to be a policeman out there?
Here's the problem.
Right.
You got to react right now. You don't have time to think.
You don't have, no.
And sometimes
right.
it's right, sometimes it's wrong, but you're also protecting yourself, so that's how you react.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
don't have time to, well, let me think about this for a minute.
Let me think about that water buffalo that's charging me.
Yeah, right.
You
better
know?
React.
Yeah, you got to react. And that's what a lot of these guys are taught. They got to react. If there's a knife or there's a gun in the car, they're resisting arrest, what are you going to do? I don't know. I know a lot of policemen, a lot of retired guys, a couple of guys from Cleveland retired, and their sons are policemen, too, in many of the suburbs here. And, you know, it's a hard, hard job, physically
right.
and mentally.
Mentally is more important, like
yeah.
the one who committed suicide.
And the
I mean,
guy who
like,
committed suicide, you know,
yeah.
he had some demons there someplace,
yep.
you know. And mm-hmm. I think... This shooting of this detective probably just put the guy over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It did. It's obvious.
It's horrible.
It was related, but.
So, you know, be supportive of the police, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it looks like you're going to have your hands full for a little while till you get things ironed out. Hopefully, maybe it'll
yeah.
go back to normal, you know?
Yeah,
maybe.
Hopefully.
So this is until... This first semester ends what at Christmas time?
Yeah, the first semester ends at Christmas time, but that doesn't guarantee that it's going to be smooth sailing until
yeah.
then.
Yeah, right.
Because there could be, you know, there could there could be a resurgence of cases in the community, and then we have to close down, you know, because school is a place where people come from other places to spend their day. And so people are going to be coming in and, you know, picking up some cooties and then taking it home.
Right.
But the same thing is happening at their home. Everybody who lives at that house is going to other places.
Other places.
Right.
And then they're all coming home. So it's, you know, things have been, I guess, things in general have been calming down with the virus. But now that all of these kids are going to be mixing again.
And when it's colder, Mike, everyone goes inside. And the chance of, you know, infection is a lot higher when people are going inside, you know, when you can't be outside, you got
to
go.
I'm lucky I don't have to go
to the mall or, you know, shopping or anything else. You know, wear your mask.
Right.
Don't rub your eyes. Don't scratch your nose. You know, wash your hands or sanitize your hands. All those things are important. And, you know, keep your social distancing. That's all you can do.
I'm lucky. I have to, with all these orders I'm getting with Amazon and eBay and the website with the divers in the sand, I go every day to the post office.
Mm-hmm.
But I go shopping once every, like, maybe 2 weeks. And that's about all I luckily have to do. And so I'm either cleaning out the shop or I'm on a tractor. So, well, we got to take a break.
Sure.
The first 15 minutes has gone by. You're listening Inside the Great Outdoors. Dr. Norm is here. Mike Sustin, teacher Mike Sustin, Joe Castaway Cools. So we'll take a short break and we'll be back. We have a lot to talk about on Inside the Great Outdoors. It's my
Relief Factor, effective pain relief that really, really works. How do I know that? I don't have a script. I don't have talking points. I live it. I've been taking it for a year and a half. I had a lower back pain issue that had been plaguing me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor for 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks, and my pain was gone, and it's still gone. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. Don't take my word for it. See their incredible video testimonials at relieffactor.com. And then find out for yourself if this incredible drug-free product could work for you as well as it does for me and tens of thousands of Americans. It's so very, very simple. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee it, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it morning and evening, as do I, for 3 weeks, by the end of that time, you will know if it works for you like it works for me.
This is Hugh Hewitt for Town Hall Review. If you're like me, you want more than just facts. You want insight from people you trust. People like Dennis Prager, Michael Medved, Larry Elder, Mike Gallagher, and of course me, your host each week on the Town Hall Review, a weekly roundup of the news. Tune in each week and visit our website at townhallreview.com. That's townhallreview.com.
Saturday and Sunday at 5 a.m. on AM 1420, The Answer.
Dennis Prager sees the left exposing their true feelings.
It is not surprising to me that there were demonstrators yelling in Oakland, death to America. They don't mean death to all Americans. It is death to this country as it exists. I don't understand how that differs from fundamentally transform, the terms that are used regularly by Democrats.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 1420. The Answer, and on radio.com.
This segment is brought to you by Kodiak Scent Company. Who doesn't need that little bit of extra edge on your next fishing trip? We got you covered. Check out one of the many Kodiak products.
Inside the Great Outdoors on a beautiful Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I saw a boat going fishing this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I saw the police pulling somebody over in Strongsville. But, you know, these people are driving like nuts. You know, I might go 5 miles over the speed limit.
Well, what's
65, 70?
What's on the lower end? What's the limit you can drive slower? Is it
probably
five?
50? You know, 50, 55. I don't think they're going to pull you over for going slow, but this guy zipped by me. He must have been going 80.
Yeah.
And, you know, he saw the cop, and he kind of slowed down, but I think he got him by then. And the cop followed him for a little while.
Oh, really?
I think what they do is they get your license plates, you know, see if you're some convicted felon or something, and then he pulled him over. He waited till the traffic kind of thinned out and pulled him over. But the guy was really zipping down the road.
I find myself comfortable at 55. I don't know why. I mean,
I find myself comfortable at 65.
See, I don't know why, but...
Well, the speed limit for a long time was 55, remember?
Yeah, well, it's 60 where I'm driving.
Yeah, but I just 60 all the way in here.
Yeah, and
all the way 71, 480, that's all 60.
I feel comfortable at 55. Going home, I'll go 55 to 60, you know, go a little bit
more.
You know,
I feel comfortable at 53 like Mike, you know?
Yeah, right. Did you do any hunting yet?
Yeah. Yeah, the last couple of days I went out looking for some doves.
I figured
and yeah, not real successful.
No, not seeing or not shooting.
No, I've actually been shooting really well. It's just I'm not finding the
amount
the numbers of doves that would make a meal yet.
You got to go to my place, man. They're all over the place.
Hey, well,
there's a lot of blackbirds around too, Mike. You know, blackbird pie and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what else I'm seeing, and this is kind of off the hunting thing, is I'm seeing what I can recall as way more monarch butterflies than I think I've seen
in
a long time.
I'm just starting to see them.
Starting, but I haven't been outdoors all week.
Yeah,
yesterday was the first
time. I've been hunting way up at the north end of Geauga County and the south side of Lake County. So, you know, as the butterflies, they do migrate all the way across Lake Erie.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm seeing just a ton of butterflies.
Good.
Now, well,
do you hear many shots?
At butterflies? No.
No. At doves.
You know, was it yesterday or was it Friday? I think it was Friday. I heard a pretty good barrage south of me.
Okay.
That could have been a couple of guys got into some doves.
Yeah,
yeah. It was the day after opening day. I heard a lot of shots. You know, everybody shoots around me, nines and 45s and everything else. But you can tell pop of a
shotgun.
Like a 20-gauge shotgun, and boom, boom, boom.
Right.
You know, probably the dove was still flying.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the thing. It's not like ducks. You know, it's a lot harder to shoot a dove.
Oh, they're fast.
Yeah.
Well,
and they're erratic.
And they're little
and they're erratic. They don't fly like a duck in a straight line.
No.
Either do the teal. The teal are jumping around.
Yeah, they're kind of a flighty birds.
Flighty?
Yeah.
Flighty. Got that? Flighty?
Yeah. I was watching, you know, your eyes just kind of wander, and I picked up some movement in the field across the road and kind of downhill from where I was. And there was a nice, large-bodied buck walking through the field, but he had, like, a real tall, narrow rack. It was just a six-pointer, still in velvet, and he was just kind of crossing this big wide open hay field that I'm sure the farmer's going to take one more cutting off of, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it was up to the buck's belly. So there's got to be enough material in there to cut it one more time.
Yeah. They'll be going hard pretty quick, usually by the 15th, which is close.
I'm seeing a lot of does with three fawns.
Really?
Especially in Strongsville. You know, I think they're eating those ornamental plants that that Petiti sells. He's probably making a fortune on them, you know. But it mainly in Strongsville, and they're all over the place. A lot of ones with three fawns.
Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah.
I see in Outdoor News that the buck kills set a record last year, that 60% of the duck bucks shot were 2.5 years or older, and 30% were 3.5 or older. And but there are, just over the last few years, there's actually more bucks around. And so that was kind of an interesting. And then, of course, ammo and gun supplies are running low. And I had, I actually literally ran out. And I watch all my supplies for building divers, and I ran out of the weights. And I'm really in trouble if I don't have weights. And so I called the guy, and he says, well, we put you in line, but, you know, I says, can you give me anything? 50, something. So, man, the next day I had 200 delivered. So I made it.
Oh, that's great.
So yesterday I made a whole bunch of divers up because when I get the order, I got 2 days to do it. I like to get them out the same day. And so I worked all day. And then, but before I did that, I was able to get on the tractor, and I sprayed. I sprayed earlier in the week. Earlier in the week, I sprayed herbicide on weed killer on the second time on the sweet corn field where the grass took over, and then the other brassica field that had grass and it growing too. So yesterday, I spread basically 1,000 pounds of lime, 1,000 pounds of fertilizer, and then I'm going to try to disc later today and hopefully, depending on what the rain is, plant tomorrow. And I'm hoping that the rain will be. I didn't get to see weather.
What are you going to plant, Joe?
I'm going to put a combination of brassicas and clover. I'm going to mix it. And I got my instead of the last time I did this where I walked 25,000 steps on my watch, it calculates it. That's enough. No, I ain't going to do that again because I got two fields. So what I'm going to do, I got a young kid that's been helping me lately clean out the shop, which has been unbelievably helpful. And I got a little pallet. I got forks for my tractor. I'm going to put little forks on and put a little pallet in front of the tractor and then set it level and have it so his feet are just above the ground so he'd be comfortable. And I haven't decided. I've got the big, holds maybe 10 pounds of seed with a big hand crank, which throws it pretty wide. I don't know if I'm going to do that, or I bought a little electric one, battery-powered, like you do in your lawn. You know, it just holds like 2 pounds. But he could hold that in front of him, and I'll go slow, and he could actually move it back and forth. And that's how I'm going to go back and forth, which accomplishes not so much walking, although he could do that. He could walk it. But but I need coverage. And the problem is when you do it, you can't tell where you've done it if you're walking. I try to shuffle my feet to leave tracks. But if the ground's really dry, you can't tell. So this way, the tractor will leave tire marks. I'll know exactly where I went, and I can do it back. And so that I'm hoping. And they say we could get rain Monday, so I'm hoping it's like late in the day. But it...
All these fronts are going north of us. All the rain seems to be hitting the north shore of Lake Erie.
Yeah, there was some out on the lake yesterday. It just never came to shore, you know. But it, so I'm hoping, but it's, I've been just at the shop every day, but the orders have been really good, which is great. And then at my sale at the shop, I mean, I'm selling all kinds of stuff. I mean, I got 450 items out.
Well,
keep putting out. I was looking at some of your pictures. I was doing a little window shopping.
I mean,
and you got a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I got more. So you know, even if I would sell the building tomorrow, it's still going to be a month before it'd probably have to be out. So I'm going to keep bringing more stuff from the house, and because I moved so much home when I left the shop and that. But the hit of everything are the wooden nickels, thanks to Northfield Fireplace. Joe Bozy bought me. It says, my mom always said, don't take any wooden nickels. Joe Coolis. And so, you know, I'm getting, save me one. So, and then I got a bunch of decals, you know, for Coolis freeze dry. And a new, 2 years in a row, I was on the cover of the Sportsman Show, what's it called, that they handed out. The flyer. And it's big.
Yeah.
It's really big. It's like 14 by 18. It's a big piece.
Yeah.
And I was on the cover catching a fish. One, I think both the years was that. And so I got a bunch of those. So,
those would be good to be framed. You ought to frame a couple of those for yourself.
That might be good. Yeah. So I had this big picture. Somebody wanted to buy it. I don't want to sell it. Me with the camera, you know, when I first started. It's like 3 by 4. It's big. But I do have some smaller ones, but somebody wanted to buy it. I don't want to sell that yet. Not yet, anyway. But, yeah, it's amazing the stuff that they're – and the prices, I mean, I got are really
good. I have a picture framed of a Tom's walleye lure, a lime Tom's walleye lure with a walleye following it. You know?
Really?
It's really nice.
Oh,
I put it, you know, in my game room.
That's
my garage, Mike. You know?
Your man cave?
My man cave, yeah.
But it's amazing the stuff that they're buying. And a bunch of people come, but everything's priced really good.
Yeah.
I mean, things are like 5, 10, 15, or 20, 25. No, it's mostly 5, 10, 20, 25. Yeah. I mean, that, you know.
And you sold that saw last week to my friend.
Oh, yeah. I sold him that table saw.
Yeah.
So, and I got some other, when I was making the scent in big volumes, I got a couple cookers that are stainless that I put on there for $125, which I've gotten all kind of calls on, but it's they're like vats. They're big things. But, yeah, it's interesting. I'm cleaning stuff out, and the nice thing is that the guy that runs the bait store is there 6 days a week from noon to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So he runs that. I don't have to be there. I can, but I've been cleaning it. And what's overwhelming, there's so much stuff yet. But what I looked at finally, what I tried to do is get a room done, because there's a lot of rooms. So I got two good rooms done. And then, but you go at the end of the day, it's like, because there's stuff everywhere. But I looked at the stuff purposely and I thought, okay, there's not that much in that room and not that much in that room and not much in that. So if I get those three, I have a lot done.
Yeah.
I'm moving it all to the back. And then I think I'm going to move them out to the sheds. I'm bringing stuff home, too, some of the stuff I need. So, anyways, we've got to take a break. You're listening to Inside the Great Outdoors on a Sunday morning. And if you have questions, comments, 216-901-0945 is the number. Take a short break, and we'll be back. For your fireplace needs, you need to think about contacting Northfield Fireplace and Grills. They're a very experienced leader in fireplace and outdoor grilling industry. They specialize in vent gas inserts, gas logs, ventless gas logs, and vented gas logs, glass doors, wood stoves, and wood inserts. And everything they sell, they also install, which is very important. Also, pizza ovens are becoming very, very popular. They have pellet grills, so they have anything for whether it be your fireplace or for cooking inside, outside, and especially now at this time of year, got to remember to get your fireplace clean because it is so important to get that done every year. That creosote builds up and can cause a fire. So if you have any questions, give them a call. They're not open today, but tomorrow morning, give them a call. Tell them you heard the ad on the show at 330-468-0303. That's 330-468-0303. That's Northfield Fireplace and Grills.
Mom, can I have another popsicle?
Sure, honey, here you go. Summer is all about enjoying the great outdoors, and sometimes the great outdoors is right here in our own backyard, playing in the pool with lunch on the grill and cold drinks on ice. Thanks to Discount Drug Mart, we can spend more time having fun and less time shopping. They have everything we need for a day by the pool, from the food and drink to the pool toys. Ooh, and the popsicles. Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround, no matter where your great outdoors is.
For those that fish Lake Erie and are used to fishing with Dipsy divers, I think they've got to try my diver, Castaway's Magnetic Diver. And what's so neat about it, it's a magnetic release. So you don't have to fight with the problem with the regular Dipsies is that they'll trip. You got to bring them in.
Or sometimes they won't trip.
Or they won't trip. This is a magnetic release. So you let it into the water, and as it has slack, it falls and it sets and then dives. And then when a fish hits it, it trips it, comes to the surface and comes in. But the neat thing about it as well is you can fish with it. You can trip it. You can let it come up through the water column. You can reset it. So it's a great way to get a bait down and away from the boat. So it's Castaway's Magnetic Diver. But it's something, if you're a troller, you need to look into. It's a great product and a great way to make fishing a lot easier and a lot more productive. So order yours today.
This segment is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart, the stores that save you the runaround, an employee ownership company serving Ohio for 50 years.
Welcome back. Listening to Inside the Great Outdoors, talking about my sale and stuff, and I've been busy. But it's almost a month of cleaning out, and I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, which is wonderful, because I got to start. I was thinking about it last night. I got to do some work on my blinds. After I get this stuff planted, then at least that part is, although on my new property I have to move a bunch of dirt and maybe do some mowing over that. I want to get another little area where I could plant more in the spring. And it's going to be time to harvest the corn for a couple things. Some are going to go to the chickens, and some are going to be the display stalks. And then I planted first time. I haven't even seen it yet because I've been working at the shop. But I got the colored corn, Indian corn. So I have to harvest that, and then I'm going to tie them into bundles of like three or four.
First Nation corn.
Oh, now it's First Nation.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Cleveland Indians corn. But it's, I'm anxious to see. But that corn over there is like 8 foot tall. Oh, man, is it beautiful?
Wow.
Sweet corn was a disaster, but it's the soil. That's why I spread all that lime and fertilizer yesterday. Mm-hmm. But next year I'm going to plant sweet corn over there where that soil hasn't been.
Oh, on the
been,
other side.
Yeah, where nothing's ever grown there in years and years and years and years and years. And then I'm reclaiming where where the marsh was. I'm a little concerned because it's actually a little swampy over there, even though it's been dry, just the way it lays. So what I need to do, but I don't know how difficult it'll be, the silt that's built up there over the years, because the pond was there and it broke. And so the silt for the last 30 years, maybe, who knows how long, has built up where the silt is like 2 foot thick.
Right.
So it holds water, and if you drive on it, you got to ditch it, swale, and then water sits. So yep. What I'd like to do is to skim off, say, the half of it, like, 3 inches. And I don't know how difficult that's going to be to do. If I could control a bucket enough to do that, I don't know.
And you're going to spread it on that field?
Yeah, then I want to. Then I'd like to take what I pick up and go back across the street and put it on my cornfield on my side. That's not doing good. So I don't know. That's going to be a lot of crossing
the
road.
It's
got to
be really nutrient rich.
Oh my
stuff.
Gosh! Yeah. It's beautiful, black. And when I saw how that corn grow, and I spread what I did correctly on that side, I didn't on my side, is when I planted it before it had a chance to germinate at all. They says, oh, you could wait till the corn starts up and then spray a pre-emergent to stop weeds from growing.
Right.
Well, over there, I did it like within 2 days. From now on, if I get the field ready and I plant, the day I plant or the next day, I'm spraying. And that's why all these cornfields you see out there are so pristine, because that's what they do. They spray actually right behind when they plant. So it doesn't let any grasses or weeds come up. Well, where I didn't do it, it's terrible.
And all that corn is genetically Roundup resistant anyway.
On the field corn. Sweet corn isn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I wanted to put, because I really should stop a year and build the soil up with soybeans. The problem is, if you don't have like 5 acres of soybean, the deer will just devastate and you'll have nothing. Because I tried that 1 year. I put in a couple acres of soybeans and it was terrible. Oh, let's go with a phone call here. We got Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Joe.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you on this fine Sunday morning?
Wonderful.
Good. Hey, you were talking about, walking the fields and spreading with the hand spreader.
Yeah.
Years ago, farmers would put a rope on the back of their belt loop and leave a trail so they make the turn. They could see where they were.
Oh. Ah, yeah, because I walk and I try to shuffle my feet and I'm looking and I'm way over where I already did it, and it's if the soil doesn't look right, that's a neat idea.
Yeah,
with a weight,
a little 10-foot piece of rope on your back belt loop, and it'll make a snake trail where you walk.
And they didn't have anything at the end of it?
Nope.
Be nice to maybe have something on the end to make a little bit.
A ball.
A diver.
Ball. A diver. Yeah, I'll throw one of my divers.
Put a Disney diver on it. There you go.
Oh, that's a neat idea. I never would have thought of that.
All right, I'm enjoying the show. Go have
good.
Fun.
Good. Appreciate that
Thanks
tip.
For the call.
Thank you.
Yep.
See you, Scott. Bye bye. Yeah, that's
put a big downrigger weight on there.
You're right. Yeah, right. Ball and chain.
About a 10-pounder, you know.
Ball and chain. Yeah, that'd leave a mark.
Mm-hmm.
But it, but if you had a ball, then when you're going on the hillside, it would always roll down, and you would know.
Yeah.
But that's I never thought of that. A little rake, some kind of something that would dig a little bit, just leave a little trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, and then you can gauge how far it spreads side to side, and then you do it.
But you don't have to do that now.
I think I'm gonna
use that kit on the front.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, because I could drive. Yeah. I would determine where it's going.
Right.
And then, because then the way you really should do it, the correct way to do it is you take how much you need to put out, which is always a big thing. Even yesterday. Spreading the fertilizer and the lime. It's you want to make sure you have enough to do it. You don't want to run out and have nothing on some. So that's the trick on how much do you open up the little thing, and they don't have things on there like you do on your one on your home, you know, what setting to put it at.
Right.
So the correct way is say you're going to, okay, like in the acre and a half, I spread 650 pounds of each. So what you do, 650 pounds, so the way to do it would be you divide it into three. Now, this is more if you're walking, which I've walked, spread all that kind of weight, you know, spread the spreader holes like 25 pounds at a time. So it's a lot of filling it up. So you divide it into three, and then you walk it in three directions. You go north, south, east, west, and then on a diagonal. And then, you know, you got even coverage.
Mm.
That's the best way. But when you're doing it on a tractor, that's kind of hard. And it throws it quite a ways. I mean, so I'm overlapping quite a bit. So I'm getting pretty good coverage, at least with the lime and the fertilizer. With the seed, it's different because you're not throwing it as wide or as far as that. So,
right.
Yeah, but... it's always something, but I'm getting close. And then I realized too, I haven't worked on my blinds. I have shutters on them because of the blinds that you buy are mainly made for people down south. I don't have to deal with snow.
Do you have problems with hornets and stuff getting in those blinds?
Not too bad. My truck, my vehicles get them. My other van, you know, the big van.
Yeah,
I have,
yeah.
We're loading stuff.
Really?
I'm bringing stuff home, and everybody's running around. Kids help me. Oh, there's hornets. They're building nests in the doors. Jeez. And they're deathly afraid of them, you know. So I knocked them out, and we use the van a couple of days later. They're back again.
Bald-faced hornets, you think, or what?
Probably.
The darker color ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are bald-faced.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. Now, I don't remember them being as prolific as they are now, you know.
God, why? I don't know why they wiped the van. And it's behind some. You could find the nest. Some are behind things where you can't, you know.
Yeah.
But it's what I want to do is because I made them out of wood, and just with over the years they just deteriorated. So I think what I'm going to do, I've scrapped so much aluminum, and I'm thinking, boy, the aluminum. I've got angle. Smaller stuff that would be good if I could make this covering for the windows out of aluminum, and then either for mica, or maybe I could go by like the roofing. Although I think most of it's core, you know, Ripley, which might be okay. Make it out of that. The only thing I have to worry is when I'm in there and it's like late in the winter and there's snow on the roof, and then I put the heater on. That melts and it avalanches down the side onto something noisy. And invariably, there's some deer around. And they hear that and then freak out and go on.
Right.
You know? But
and
the coyotes.
Not around it.
Yes. But the coyotes, man, I've been hearing coyotes lately. Jeez. So it's going to be time to start getting
coyote trapping. Oh, I got something for you, as a matter of fact. You reminded me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hmm. But the, Doc is
so digging. These blinds that you have, Joe, just to kind of refresh the audience or new listeners.
Good idea.
These
good
are
idea.
Like, they're hard shell.
Right. They're hard shell. Oh, good. Doc gave me a Finn Fish and Game magazine. Oh, with a coyote on the cover to boot. They're a hard plastic. And then out of the top is a tube, a 4-inch tube that goes up. So like if I'd be, you know, working at the shop and it's 3 o'clock and I got time to get out there for an hour or two, I could just go right from the shop. Don't worry what I'm wearing. And I can go in there and the scent goes out the top.
Right. And then you have it elevated on a little.
Yeah, well, a little. You know, it's like 14 feet up. Platform
14 foot
off the ground.
Something that looks like an oil derrick.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Four sides, and with a actually, I put steps in to go up because it's especially when it gets later in the season, you want something safe because you're carrying your crossbow and backpack and whatever. So, and then I built a little platform at the top. So it's because usually they have it; it goes right to the door. Well, you got to open the door while you're on a ladder. No. I have a little platform, get on that, safely open the door, put everything inside.
Close it up. A back porch.
Yeah, a miniature back porch with good steps.
Uh-huh.
Except the one that my buddy Rich from Aurora built, I think he was like, he made the steps like you got to be a giant to reach them.
Oh,
and it's an older one, and I got, man, he was younger, and he could reach them. So
he spent all his money on the blind and didn't have enough left over for the lumber for the ladder.
Yeah. I guess I kind of maybe did that. So I got to change that. I don't know if I'll get to it. But every time I go up to saying, why did he make these so far apart? You know,
right.
But he helped me, so I appreciate
it. You got to get one of those lifts like they have.
Well, that's what I'm figuring. That's what I'm figuring.
Just sit in and press
when
a button.
When I can't get around anymore. Yeah. I'm going to have something like that. Probably what I'll probably have to do is maybe just hunt on the ground in a blind. I don't know. Hopefully it'll be a while before that. But we got to take a break. You're listening Inside the Great Outdoors, 216-901-0945. Phone number. We'll take a break, and we will return. For those that fish Lake Erie and are used to fishing with dipsy divers, I think they've got to try my diver, Castaway's Magnetic Diver. And what's so neat about it, it's a magnetic release. So you don't have to fight with the problem with the regular dipsies is that they'll trip. You got to bring them in. Or they won't trip. This is a magnetic release. So you let it into the water, and as it has slack, it falls and it sets and then dives. And then when a fish hits it, it trips it, comes to the surface and comes in. But the neat thing about it as well is you can fish with it. You can trip it. You can let it come up through the water column. You can reset it. So it's a great way to get a bait down and away from the boat. So it's Castaway's Magnetic Diver. But it's something, if you're a troller, you need to look into. It's a great product and a great way to make fishing a lot easier and a lot more productive. So order yours today.
Do you want to become a better hunter, a better angler? Then you need to subscribe to the best outdoor publication in Ohio, Ohio Outdoor News. 26 times per year, you'll receive the latest news and information that the best hunters and anglers utilize. Each issue keeps you in the know on timely season updates, like where the fish are biting, along with useful hunting tips from experts in the field. The detailed fishing hotspot maps are a must-have, as is the Ohio Fishing and Hunting Report, found only in Ohio Outdoor News. They also provide real coverage into the regulations that impact Ohio outdoorsmen and women. And you'll find pages of trophy photos that hunters and anglers like you have shared with Ohio Outdoor News. Best of all, it's all about Ohio. Take it from me, you're missing out if you're not reading every issue. To subscribe to Ohio Outdoor News, call 800-535-5191. That's 800-535-5191 for the best outdoor publication in the state, Ohio Outdoor News.
The following is another edition of Inside the Great Outdoors instructional films. This morning, we observe Billy as he endeavors to erect a wood duck box in the middle of his pond. Billy is aware that wood ducks thrive in areas where nesting sites abound. It's important to remember wood duck boxes must be properly constructed of... Whoa! Wait just a minute there, Billy.
Oh, hey there, Mr. Keough. What seems to be the problem?
Well, Billy, it seems as though you're ignoring some very basic water safety rules, and I am not pleased. Not pleased at all. First of all, you aren't even using APFD. Do you realize how dangerous that is?
Why would I need a PDF, Mr. Keough?
It isn't a PDF, Billy. It's a PFD, a personal flotation device, hopefully approved by the United States Coast Guard.
Don't worry, Mr. Keough. I can swim just swell.
Billy, that water is ice cold. Your ability to swim won't mean a thing if you fall into the water. Add to the equation that you aren't even using a boat. You're attempting to use a washtub instead.
Don't you worry, Mr. Keough. I know what I'm...
I think we've all learned a valuable lesson today. When boating, always wear a PFD, even when you know how to swim. And always use a real boat. Join us next week when we learn how to administer CPR. This has been a production of Inside the Great Outdoors instructional films. The part of Pompous Old Guy was played by Joe Keough. The part of Billy was played by Andrew Mann. All scenes, whether actual or created, depict authenticated facts.
This segment is brought to you by Northfield Fireplace and Grill, located in awesome Northfield, Ohio, where our motto is, it's easier to sell the truth.
Welcome back. A couple things with Northfield Fireplace. I got to give them a call. They're going to check out the chimney at the shop because it needs some work.
I didn't know they repaired chimneys.
Oh, yeah. When they come to check your fireplace, yeah, they go on the roof always, and they check it, and they let you know if you need something, and then they can fix it right away.
That's good.
It's not another trip. So I've got a schedule for them to come do the fireplace. In fact, they had to work on the chimney at home last year or the year before, because they checked it and it needed some work on it. So they do it right away. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah, but I got to get my fireplace checked. And with that tub, I was laughing so hard.
You won't live that down, Joe.
No, all of that stuff was basically referring to me and my.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Man, when I went in that water, it was so cold. I mean, I could not breathe. I mean, instant.
You're lucky you had someone there to help you.
Yeah. Luckily, Donna was helping me that day.
I would be broadcasting by myself this morning.
Oh,
my
God. Yeah,
it'd
you would.
It'd be me and Mike, you know.
Yeah, you, yourself, and Mike. but it was like, wow. And then I'm grabbing, and I'm away from shore, so, and it's deep there.
Right.
I mean, it's probably 12 foot deep there. So I got all I could do to try to get to the shore. And
were you wearing a PFD? No.
No. And then, well, it was going to be
a PDF. Either one is fine.
It was going to be a 2-minute job. All I was doing was cleaning out the drain, you know, which is away from shore, and there was debris in it. And so I remember laying in the water when I finally got close to shore and my hands are dug into the bank and there was some grass and I'm holding on. Oh, that was scary. So now I alleviated that problem because I built a dock with a T at the end. And now it's only like 2 foot away from the dock. So I can walk out there and clean it off. Yeah, that was one time, never again.
Yeah.
I thought it would be okay because it was like the sled that you haul deer in. And it would have been fine,
pygmy was in it, maybe, you
well,
know?
Well, no, it would have been perfectly fine, except the problem was it was a little bit rocky, And the one corner, got under the water, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, shoot. So I shifted the weight the other way. Too late. It just went boom, 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 boom,
boom. Boy, that would have been a good video.
Oh, my God. Oh, yep. Man, I just dove for the shore. Oh, man. And I didn't have, you know, just regular clothes and boots on, and it was cold out. It was in the spring. Oh, yep. God. And hearing that again is like, yeah, PDF. Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, at least everybody got a good laugh out of it.
And we're still laughing about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and that was many years later.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's amazing how you get yourself into some predicaments that, man, if things didn't go right, you wouldn't be around. And it's amazing how'd I get through that? It was just stupidity, but it was like, I'm only going to do this little thing, and I'm only going out there like 6 feet or 7, 8 feet or whatever.
Right.
You know, what could go wrong? Well, I found out what could go wrong.
Yeah, it's always funny to look back on an incident like that and go, how did I not know this was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it was, well, it seemed okay.
Right.
Okay, it's a boat, it's a sled, it's got maybe 5 inches of freeboard. And all I'm going to do is stand in it and just go out and take a stick, and I'm going to, you know, and I pushed away from shore. It's
one of those duh moments, you know?
Yeah.
I know when I got nailed by a small rattlesnake once, you know?
Oh.
That was a duh moment, you know?
I wouldn't get near one for that to happen to me, so. I at least have some brains.
Well, at that time, I was picking through them, you know?
What, your brains?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
But everyone has done stupid things.
Yeah, you know? You just don't think. You know?
Right.
You're doing something, and you're more concentrated on what you're going to do and not what you're doing to do that.
Right,
what it's taking to do that.
I did the same thing with an anaconda once, too, you know?
Oh, geez.
And I think that anaconda bite was worse than the rattlesnake bite. I was picking teeth out for about a day, you know? It just really nailed me. Again, I was reaching in to clean out the cage with a scoop.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing was in the corner. It didn't look like it was doing anything. I thought, well, should I put a glove on? Should I take them out? I can just reach in there. I was too lazy to go get the glove, you know?
Yeah.
And, man, that thing came around. And, you know, those pythons and anacondas and
how big was it?
It wasn't very big. It was about maybe 10 feet. They strike faster than any rattler do. Their strike is really instantaneous. It's just boom.
Did he let go?
I had to pull him off, you know.
Oh, jeez. I'm going to get in my tub and feel a lot safer than that.
You know?
What?
They've got how many different rows of teeth?
I think they got six rows, you know, on the top and four rows on the bottom, you know.
But they're tiny little teeth, kind of like the thorns on like a raspberry bush.
Don't remind me, Mike.
Oh, my God. How old were you, five?
I was old enough to know better. In my early 20s, 20, 21, something like that.
I thought I did some stupid things.
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't like
I don't know if I graduated from college at that time. I
don't think you graduated from grade school.
High school was hard enough for me, you know.
Bit by a anaconda. Oh, my
God. Well, I can at least say it, you know. Me and a friend of mine were driving one time along the freeway, and I said, Tony, you know, I bet we're the only two guys here on the freeway that have been nailed by a rattlesnake.
Probably in about a 5-county area.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Oh. Tell us one of your dumb things, Mike.
Mike doesn't do any dumb things.
Well, yeah, there's always a few.
Yeah. What's the most striking? Got that
probably
duck
the
striking?
The very first time I owned a really nice, I got a mail order.